This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
All right, Commissioner Jim Phillips is here. So was it touch and go on the sniff test with Chester and Fuller?
No, nah, I love like... those dogs. They welcomed me immediately. No barks, no growls. Rubbing up against my leg immediately down here.
That's how it is.
Yeah, that's how we roll in the basement.
How you doing?
Doing great.
And running on a Friday morning?
I mean, it's great to be in the Queen City. I think we have a great game tomorrow. I know we'll get to two really well-deserving teams, well-coached, two 10-win teams. Should be a lot of points over tomorrow night at 8 o'clock.
All right, Pack, what do we got here?
We'll get to the game. We got a lot of issues.
We got things we got to discuss.
I'm just glad you made it past Chester and Fuller because there was some,
I know.
You're out there important phone calls in the front yard. The neighbors are already texting me. Who's this stranger in the front of the
Another HOA fine for Packer.
Don't worry about it. This
Jim,
guy
there have been
okay.
all these HOA fines since all this started, but, you know, we'll get it cleaned up.
The patrol car stopped carried forward.
That's right. Neighborhood watch.
Listen, let him go. He's going to be okay. You'll get through it.
You can't come without some gifts. So let me give the warm-up gifts first, right?
See, the boys here paper. They know that.
So we got some ACC socks for you guys with the holiday spirit.
Hey, Chester, look, your favorite socks.
And we got a couple ACC hats.
Nice.
Okay.
Nice.
All right.
We're doing good.
But that's really not the more important stuff.
Lid's nice.
This is the most important stuff that I got for the dogs.
Oh, that's right. I was going to say.
We got a little blanket here with some retrieving balls.
Be careful, Pack. Pack.
Oh, those are right now.
Pack. Oh, no.
Get those things going.
No. Really? We're never going to be able to get any kind of work done here if we start throwing balls to the dogs. Look at this.
Hey, Brother Fuller.
Look, watch.
Look what the man brought you. Hey, look what the man brought you.
That's right.
Look. Right there. Life is good.
Great. Okay. Chester, there we go.
All right, but I got some more stuff.
Do you?
Pack.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, so we have some hats for the dogs when it gets really cold, right? We got some ACC.
Hey,
put their ears right through
well,
there.
Well, you know, Chester got a haircut.
Let me tell you something. I'm going to work on that photo opportunity this weekend.
There you go. Right there. Look at this. Huh?
Santa Paws.
Is that for guys?
Some treats. No. That's for the dogs.
This is all for the dogs. All we got is hat and socks, Pat.
I got to tell you, I'm starving.
Jingle jangles.
That's for the dogs? Okay, yeah. Right. Dogs are cleaning up here, Pack.
Hey, jingle
we're getting jangles. Nothing except the hat
nothing.
And the socks.
Look, Commissioner brought you jingle jangles.
Jingle jangles. Cookies.
Hey, Brother Fuller.
Cookies for the
dog
dogs?
Dog cookies.
You sure about that?
Yeah, I'm sure about that.
It's not for you, Pack.
I'll tell you what, I've had the greatest haul of my life week on the show.
Yeah, it didn't
look,
continue here.
Look, boys, y'all got to sit. Watch this. Show the commission how you do it. Yeah, that's it. Paul up. Get your jingle jangle.
Unbelievable. Really? You took care of the house?
I think you only have one time to make a first impression
and
on
you
the
You did
dogs.
A great job.
Excellent work, commission.
Like,
excellent work.
Meanwhile.
So love the hat.
When I leave here, just remind the dogs who the man is.
They know who
the man
is.
The man. Completely the man. All right. Let's get a couple 30,000-foot things out of the way here. Earlier this week, we announced full distribution for this channel. That's a big thing.
That is a big thing.
That's a real big thing. Now the landscape of this conference is covered by a network that is 24/7 on the conference, right?
No question. I give John Swofford, Commissioner Swofford, a ton of credit. I mean, he laid the groundwork with the presidents and the athletic directors, and now it was this last 8 or 10 months just trying to get it across the goal line. The folks at ESPN were great. Jimmy Pitaro and Burke Magnus really helped quite a bit. There was no question in that listening tour that I went on maybe 10 months ago, 9 months ago, that when I listened to the membership, that was one of the very most, if not the most important topics of, you know, the frustration of we can't get the network right here in our backyard,
right,
watching our teams and certainly listening to the fans as well. And so appreciate the folks at Comcast. Negotiations are always hard, but they were fair, they were forthright, and it just took a little bit of time. I'm most happy for the student athletes that have
Absolutely.
A chance now to have those stories told. And even, you know, and you guys and the rest of our great shows that we have, this is a network that others should see. And now to have the availability in 90 million homes is really significant.
Yeah, and you and I reflected yesterday a little bit about, and you were the chair of the broadcast committee for the Big Ten for several years. You were there when the Big Ten Network was launched. Mark and I have talked about it. The storytelling of student-athletes beyond the ones you see in the marquee sports,
right,
football, basketball, those are the that's the secret sauce of any channel like the ACC, the SEC, the Big Ten, Pac-12, whatever it may be, right?
No question. No question. We're proud to be a conference that supports broad-based programming, right? And we're always going to cover football, and the basketball is always good. But we have these amazing Olympic sports with these amazing student-athletes that deserve the same type of treatment. And there's enough to go around.
Yeah.
24/7, right? There's an awful lot of opportunity to tell those stories. So just a fantastic, monumental day for this conference on Tuesday of this past week. So, and I congratulate both of you as well, because that's part of what we pitched is, you know, we have great programming, we have great talent, and we have tremendous stories to be told that people are interested in. Get us into these homes, and you'll really see success and value.
Well, this weekend is a perfect example. I mean, while we're sitting here talking about Pitt and Wake Forest playing for an ACC football championship, you got men's and women's soccer, you got the volleyball NCAA tournament getting underway. Wrestling's going to be out of sight. Four teams ranked in the top 25 this week. There's storylines across the board. You know, NC State winning a national championship in cross country. We had a good time in South Bend back in October, and that was a spearheaded NC State having a great run and so forth. So there's a lot happening. You also did something this week with mental awareness, right? Mental health and so forth, which has been discussed so much since COVID. And this is true whether we're talking about student athletes, sports, general public, right? It's something that we all should pay attention to.
No question, because it's around us.
Yep.
And that was that's a little bit of the, you know, really ground level structure of that alliance. You know, we talked about events and talked about NCAA and driving that forward. But in the end, best practices about how we're caring for our student athletes. And so we formed a committee on that issue and grabbed 41 institutions and the leading experts got together across the three conferences, and they put forward a really good plan of which we want to destigmatize mental health issues. Mm-hmm. I mean, that needs to just be regular conversation. There was a beautiful story about Sam Hartman that I think you saw yesterday that was done. I mean, that's living proof, right? Sam Hartman is as good of a player, good of a person, good of a student as we have in the ACC. And for us to be able to share that with those 10,000 student athletes in the three conferences, but then the greater public, because it isn't about just student athletes. It's about family and friends and relatives and all the rest. So really proud of that initiative. And I think that's the place that the ACC needs to continue to be as a leader in college athletics.
You've been busy, like really busy. You've been to, I know, every campus during football season. It's amazing. You've handed out championship trophies. You told us that you would hand out trophies at every championship. You've done that. You did the listening tour. What have you learned this fall? We're going to play the championship game tomorrow night. What did you learn about the sport of football in your ACC fall schedule?
Yeah. We have good football in this conference. Maybe we're right this year. We don't have a top five team. I think we got a couple top 10 teams, regardless of the ranking, et cetera, right?
Right.
But we may not, you know, be in that top five spot. But you look at 1 to 12, it's 10 wins to 5 wins, right? Or 1 to 12, right? It's 10 wins going down to 5 wins, 10 bowl eligible teams.
Right.
So, and we have two teams with 3 wins, right? And so they'll get back on track here. What it says is we have great balance, great competition. You both have followed the games. You've broadcast the games. Mm-hmm. Those games come down to the very end. They are. And if you're not right one weekend, you're going to get beat. And I think that is part of this rising tide that I saw this year in the ACC. Last year, we had 6 teams eligible to play or played in bowl games. This year, we'll have 10.
Yeah.
That's significant. And we'll get back to, you know, chasing that championship trophy, national championship trophy. But I was really proud. Didn't start out the way all of us wanted early in the year, mm-hmm. but our football got better as the year went on. There's no question about it. Our teams got better. Our players got better. That's because we have great coaches in the league. And again, I feel really good about the future of football in the ACC.
Well, the College Football Playoff Committee is the ultimate poll. And the last one that came out on Tuesday, the ACC and the Big Ten have four teams in the top 20. That's it. That's the top of the list. Yeah. Now, like you said, you would love to have somebody in the conversation with the College Football Playoff. The ACC has done a great job, mm-hmm. really, with Clemson, really has dominated that. Florida State, obviously, in year one. That'll get back, right, at some
no
point
question.
In time. You got a guy that can be the alpha dog. Hopefully there's a couple that can do that. But the depth of this league, I think, has been underserved by the national narrative all year long from week one. Yeah. And maybe it was the Clemson-Georgia game. Everybody went, oh, if they lost, then the rest of the league must not be any good. And everybody kind of jumped on that, at least some folks on the national side. You got to look deeper than that. And it's a long season. It's not a snapshot of week one. I mean, you go 13 weeks into it, it's never a straight line. So here we are. We get into championship weekend. Like I said, the ACC's got four in the top 20, and only the Big Ten can match that.
Yeah. I mean, Pac, really well said. Really well said. And I'm not sure anybody played that number one team in the country right now any better than our group here.
But, Commish, that's even funny to me, too, because I've heard a lot of talking heads talk about, well, you know, in Georgia, give them all the credit. Well, that's a great football team.
For
right?
sure.
And they'll have a chance to win a title if they're good enough. But the conversation even today is, well, nobody's tested them. I'm like, excuse me. Do a little homework. Week one, that's a 10-3 game in which Georgia never scored an offensive touchdown. Now, maybe the Southeastern Conference wasn't competitive with them, but week one was a competitive game.
Right.
Yeah. I know that. I saw it.
I did too.
So, I mean, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
All right, we got to go to break. Meanwhile, I'd like for you to know that the first ball has been totally destroyed.
Well, that's why Commissioner brought two.
Yeah.
Because we're doing
that's
at
right.
least a, two
I mean,
segments.
Once again, the big lab has just destroyed the
hey,
ball.
When you got jingle jangle, it's not a problem.
Yeah. Coming up, more with the Commissioner as we continue here on this eve of the ACC Football Championship game, presented by Subway, by the way. And good to have those folks at Bank of America. Oh, no, we're not going back to the we're
you
not.
Believe it.
By the
Chariot
way, they're
the
NC. That's NC State being sparked to their national championship,
right.
by the way, if you hear my partner.
That's right.
More coming up with the Commissioner. Heavens know what Packer has next when we continue on ACCN.
I have an idea.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
We go to Miami for Clemson and Miami on the road. This is the opening weekend of ACC play. And then Steve Forbes and Mike Young, a couple of former Southern Conference coaches who've done just fine in the ACC with Wake and Virginia Tech meet at 2 o'clock. And then at 4 o'clock, we'll see if the Orange will travel that scoring machine to Tallahassee. Florida State off a tough loss at Purdue the other night. Meets a Syracuse team that beat Indiana in double overtime, which we thought was a long game until NC State needed four to beat Nebraska. All that on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. Kids, welcome back. We have reached the capacity here at the basement because, as you see in the Roger Goodell chair, is our long-lost friend Eric McLean. The commissioner's here. The dogs are here. We got plenty. And, Pack, I want you to know the commissioner and I had a visit yesterday about the four overtime game,
mm-hmm.
NC State, Nebraska. Right, Commish?
Big time.
Good basketball, Pack.
Really good
that
basketball.
Was good basketball.
Don't bother me. I'm having Santa Paws with my dog. Okay. These aren't bad, Commish.
How many did you put in?
I just had one. I know they're for the dogs, but they look too good.
Commish, you've been enjoying some of the mementos here in the basement. I just want you to make sure you see the blockbuster ball that Mark stole when he got fired in 1991 on his way out of the building.
Yep, they don't make those anymore.
He stole it.
I think the Huizenga family is still after him.
God rest his soul, by the way.
Yeah,
I know. Absolutely. What a wonderful family that is.
Oh, he's one of the most interesting guys I've ever met,
yeah.
Wayne Huizenga.
Well, and on the way out the door, Mark decided to take a ball.
Hey, by the way, I got an idea.
Oh, boy.
Me and you.
Okay.
So far, we are
will
perfect.
Will Wes like this?
He's already heard it. I already pitched this on the air, but I want to give you the official heads up.
And believe it or not, ironic, Eric McLean's already invested in this a little bit,
too. He likes the idea, too.
He likes the idea, too. So it just needs that kind of commissioner approval.
All right. You ready?
Yes.
Now, you know, you made this happen right here, right?
And then I thought we were done. You were good?
There's always it's just like when you get the Comcast deal done. What's next, right? You can't just sit there and say we reached the finish line.
You're rebuilding the NCAA Constitution. Yeah, there's always you're involved in the CFP. You got a lot of things going on.
There's another conquest. Right? You know how this is, right? You can't be satisfied with life.
Success
right?
is not a destination, Commissioner. It's a constant journey.
Yeah, right. That's exactly
so
right.
Here it is. Here's the idea. Now that the cross-country, we brought a national championship to the league. Let's be honest.
That is right? There is no debating that.
Right. So here's the idea. May 13th. That's a Friday, the 13th.
I know what May 13th is.
We're going to the ACC Rowing Championships. All right, Lake Hartwell. We do the show from a boat, Lake Hartwell. We take this on the road, on a boat. We're live on a boat. And I think, with enough heads up, we could have dozens of other folks who have boats down there
to watch.
Come join us to watch us do the show. To
and kick the rowing off championship.
The ACC Rowing Championships from Lake Hartwell. That has never been thought of or done in the history of college athletics or television. What do you think?
Can we get Matt Klein to come with us?
Yes.
He's got to get a big boat, though, Coach. We got to get a big boat.
Plenty of boats.
What do you think?
Will Yacola support this?
Amy, she says thumbs up. What do you think?
Done.
All right. There
done.
We go.
Let's go.
May 13th. All right.
That's going to be the next one.
May 13th. Yeah. Lake Hartwell. We're there.
Yeah. All right. Big pontoon. We're ready to go.
Yes.
Hey, ESPN. Worldwide leader, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Let's figure this thing out on the boat.
Okay.
Right? Anybody can be in a man's basement. We've covered that.
Yeah.
Let's take this sucker on the road.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Right, we've done the chariots, the champion of chariots. Right, we've got that.
Can't
wait. Cross country's done. Let's take it on the water.
Love it.
Yeah,
you may have to be on retainer in our marketing department.
Commissioner, ideas, dude. Oh, no. Let me tell you something.
Commissioner.
I can come up with hundreds of great ideas.
Oh, Commissioner,
I'll do that for free.
Commissioner,
as long as you believe, if you keep bringing jingle jangles, we got a deal.
No, Commissioner.
You got it.
All right. Let me go back to something before we get in more trouble.
We're not in any trouble. You got to understand, Wes.
I understand.
The only way to make money is to spend money.
You
got to take risk in life. You can't be there between the ditches the whole time. You got to roll the dice.
Thanks, Mr. Rockefeller. We'll move on.
Yeah.
Am I right?
That's done.
Okay.
I agree.
All right. Excellent.
You think the ACC network got off the ground by somebody going, I just don't know. No, you go for it.
All right.
You go for it.
I want to pivot to the playoff because you were in meetings this week. Another pause on the potential expansion. You've talked about the ACC being for expansion. I think a lot of people, when the concept was launched last July, then we had Oklahoma-Texas situation develop. I think a lot of people still thought we were on a fairly fast track. Are we?
I don't know necessarily how important the fast track is. I think what's more important is to get it right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so that's what we have tried to do amongst the 10 commissioners in Notre Dame. And that is to address the issues that still remain, mm-hmm. right? It's conceptually, absolutely. I think everybody is for some type of expansion at some point.
Mm-hmm.
We have this current agreement that lasts through 2026. And I think that everybody's in unison about moving forward, you know, in a way that makes sense. The idea is, can we do something before the end of the current contract in years 11 and 12? And I think what you've seen come out are the issues that we're wrestling with to try to make sure that we have addressed. Player safety, mm-hmm. number of games,
yep.
right? Health and wellness, the academic calendar, what's the model look like? When are these games going to be played? Contractual obligations to our bowls, et cetera. And so to unwind several of those things, it just takes some time and takes us being together. And we moved another step closer, and the commitment that we were going to continue to work together to advance this idea of an expanded playoff. So it's moving forward, and we're looking forward to getting together around the championship game in January. We all have some work to do over the course of the next month, but every one of the meetings we've had, I feel like we've made progress
mm-hmm.
in moving towards that destination.
Good. Commissioner, what is the first hurdle, though? I mean, because everybody's got to agree to this. If one person in the room goes, I'm not sold, you put it on hold. So what's the first hurdle that's got to be cleared here? I mean, there's a lot of things everybody agrees on, but when you finally reach the one that people go, hey, there's a debate, what is that one?
Yeah, I think there's a few, Pack. I don't think it's just one hurdle, right? Some are really conscious about the model, right? And others, contractually, they have some tie-ups with their significant bowl partners. So you have that. And then for us in the ACC, the health and safety, the number of games, the academic calendar, right? We got to work through that. And what it really warrants is a review, and everybody agrees in the room, it warrants a 365-day look at what college football is going to be into the future, right? Yeah. And that could, you know, also include adjustments on season starter or when we finish or what are some of the playing rules. We have these 4-hour and 12-minute games where we're throwing the ball 70 times on each side of the field. And so, you know, over the course of the year, that's got significant wear and tear on our student athletes. And so we continue, you know, in the ACC, we had from the meeting we had in November to the meeting we had in just on Tuesday and Wednesday of this past week or Wednesday of this past week, we had probably 11 or 12 meetings, presidents, our board, ADs, and our football coaches. That's important. That's important to get an alignment, to have conversation, to listen. We've asked the coaches to talk to the student athletes to get their perspectives. So that's what I would say to you is not just one hurdle. I think depending on where you sit, you have something that's more of a priority or maybe more of a significant issue that you're trying to wrestle with. But in totality, we brought those together and we're trying to work through all of those things together.
Would it stun you if we stay at four long term? Would that stun me?
I think that's always a possibility. Yeah. No, it wouldn't stun me. And it wouldn't stun me if we expanded. But I think you have to continue to stay in the course of reviewing and working together to try to find a way to expand a playoff that makes sense. And the timing of it and all the rest of that just comes as you unwind some of these things and get answers to some of these questions.
All right. Final note on this here, and then I know we want to cover the championship game real quick. The idea, though, and I think fans may have lost some side of this, given everybody talks about the money and all the other things involved. Student-athletes, football student-athletes, are clearly, though, having a voice in the way this is being communicated once you guys get in that room. I think for the first time, current student-athletes are also listening to players who played, Eric, guys of those nature. They're listening to their predecessors when they're talking, aren't they?
They are. It's a really important group, right? It's a group that's experienced it, group that has been through it. And I think we just have to be very careful about what we're asking student athletes to do.
Got it.
End of story.
Yeah.
How about tomorrow, though? Huh?
It should be a great game. I'm excited.
You're fired up.
I am. I absolutely could see an overtime game or two overtimes or the new three overtime.
Two-point game?
Yeah, two-point game. I really could. These are two tremendous teams.
Now, you do realize what you just said.
Yeah.
That if this happens, Monday's show is over for us. Because we're going to play this clip of you coming on here the basement after a handful of
calling
jingle jangles
overtime,
and a few balls being destroyed. Going, the commissioner told us on Friday this game's going over.
If it goes overtime, you're totally.
I'm excited about the game. I really am. And you know what else I'm excited about? And I'm mad at him a little bit. I'm gonna give you full disclosure here. But we're gonna present the MVP with the John Swofford MVP trophy.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get him to come. And I'm mad at him. I really am. And I'm saying it on TV. I hope he's watching. John, we've had a great relationship, but I am very mad at you and Nora that you will not come to the game tomorrow night because I wanted you to hand that trophy out and you wouldn't do it. So I'm gonna have to do it. I am excited for our conference to have that award be presented for the very first time to a recipient on one of the two teams and a way to honor his legacy and what he's meant to the ACC for 4-5 decades.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Amazing, amazing, amazing run. 22 football games. You've been to every fall championship. Words on the streets, you've already been to basketball.
Absolutely.
So the old restricted earnings coach at Arizona State for Frieder's been on the been on the prowl, huh?
$1,000 a month. I never had life was never so good. It was good. And you know what? I really hope. I hope that I have to take that 6:30 in the morning flight on Sunday to San Jose.
Yeah.
To see women's soccer. Florida State plays tonight against Rutgers.
The winner, number one seeds.
Yep. Yeah. The winner moves on. So I hope that after, you know, the great game we have tomorrow night, I get on that early flight, go out to the West Coast, and cheer on the Noles to try to win a national championship for the ACC and Florida State University.
You know, that's been a good place for ACC national championships lately.
Clemson San Jose. Santa Clara, San
Clemson went out there and beat a team that I heard in the meeting was the greatest college football team of all time, and four touchdowns later, Clemson's taking a knee at the one-yard line not to score 50 on them.
Right.
So hopefully that trend continues.
Right.
I know what we're talking about. Yeah. I'm just pumped about May 13th.
All right, here we go.
All right.
You know, when it gets to be too much, you know, when this gets to be a little over the top, just call.
Just call.
Call. Call calmness call over here.
Let me tell you, Wes over here.
I keep telling you, you got to roll the dice. You can't just be conservative all the time.
There you go.
You got to take risk in life, Wester.
Enjoy the day.
How do you think this show got off the ground?
Seriously. It's still a wonder. 514 in, it's still a wonder we're off the ground. Great to see you.
I wonder if Wes had a cot here or something.
No, that doesn't look like. No, Eric McLean has a suite upstairs.
Yeah, it was Wes's suite, and now Eric's been here so often, he's now replaced Wes.
Yeah.
But we still have the Packard in Durham. You haven't even been to the backyard.
You got to go to the back deck. We got the old placard here. And the fire marshal, apparently, who's on the way. Eric McLean joins us next. Commissioner, thank you. Have a great
weekend, bud.
You bet.
Thank you.
Stay tuned. Big Fellas next. We'll break down Pitt and Wake Forest headed to 10 o'clock on a Friday. Yeah, Packers got hats. We got socks. Dogs cleaned up.
Oh, yeah.
Sam Hartman, Kenny Pickett. What's it look like when we start playing tomorrow night in Charlotte? Next on ACCN.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Forget the ACC Championship Saturday. Starts at 6 o'clock tomorrow night. What is Matt Klain and his cats going to do? Oh, come on, baby. All right. Full coverage leading up to the 8 o'clock start on ABC with Mark Jones, RG3, and Quint Kesnick. Of Pitt and Wake Forest, including Lewis Riddick's one-on-one with Kenny Pickett that I know you'll want to see. That's all part of our coverage from Uptown Charlotte inside Bank of America Stadium. And then post-game, huddle literally after dark. coaches, players, everybody from the winning team celebrating the ACC football championship presented by Subway. It's all here for you tomorrow on ACCN and streaming live on the ESPN app. Welcome back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a little Friday here in the basement. Here you go. You need to start boxing up your gifts. Let's get that out of the way.
How about the dogs getting more gifts than y'all?
Dogs raked.
They should get more.
Dogs raked.
They went to town.
I mean, holy smoke. 78's in the house here.
Come on, baby.
Yeah, we're getting it done.
This feels right.
This feels right. Hey.
It's been 2 years, guys.
I know it.
Hey, we're here.
You think we ought to take the the Grand Poobah to Birmingham with us for the Ticket Smart Birmingham Bowl.
The Birmingham Bowl.
No, I'm not going to Birmingham.
Come on. Take that F-150. Drive on down.
Let's go. Come on.
Alabama.
Taylor Davis, we're going to be there.
You guys have that handled. You don't need
don't
my
worry,
services.
Don't worry. We will. High noon. We got it for
you. You don't need my services for that event.
All right. So welcome back to the basement.
It feels good.
A little serendipitous.
I'm getting a little
here.
Teary-eyed. Right?
I'm just glad the NCAA found time to find one more bowl game.
You saw that last
night.
One more.
Overnight.
We just added it. It's the Mark Packer Bowl.
Yes, it is.
Family. Packer Family Bowl. Yeah.
Can you believe that last night?
I love it, man. Huh? We need more.
No, 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 not the bowl. The fact that Brian Kelly's got a Southern accent in one day in Louisiana.
Incredible.
It's awesome.
Incredibly bad.
Some of his best work.
Wait till this afternoon's radio show for that.
All right. We get Pitt and Wake Forest. We didn't get in the regular season. We spent a lot of time talking about quarterbacks this week. So what are we not talking about that we should be talking about?
Well, I think you talk about that. Number one and number two in the league, you know, based off the rankings when you see that all ACC. But I think the biggest point of this game is going to come down to Pitt's defense, Wake Forest offense.
Right.
What did you learn, Wake Forest, from the Clemson game? Because Clemson absolutely stoned you, couldn't do what you want to do, Pitt's going to try to do the same thing. It's going to be very different because Pitt doesn't have these dominant, you know, war daddy type physical. They have guys, Kalijah Kancey, freaky. They have guys that can get to the backfield. But when you talk about taking a guy A to B against his will, they don't have that. But they're going to make it look very similar with five or six guys. So, Wake, right, what did we learn? How are we going to combat that? And if you can't, then I think this is going to be a runaway. But if you can, man, look out. What Kamish say? Three overtimes? I mean,
yeah,
he's going to be hitting that button in the booth saying, we got to go to overtime. We got to go to overtime.
All right. I want to ask you about two players. And I'm not breaking any news here because you and I kind of talked about a little bit of this yesterday when we were hanging out. I think Phil Campbell becomes a very important part of this, yep, for Pitt defensively. Yep. Cam Bright, Eric Hallett, mm-hmm, kind of that hybrid guy. Mm-hmm. Am I missing something there? Or do you think with the mesh, all those type things, that Campbell especially, he drops in coverage, he rushes the passer, right?
Servassier, I mean, all those guys, whoever is going to be in the middle who has kind of dual threat with the mesh and stand in that window if you get a big pick on that RPO,
mm-hmm,
it's going to be interesting to see, Wes, who initiates that contact and then who's waiting back for the pass. So it's going to be fascinating to see the attack, because if you do what Clemson did, you can kind of disrupt that. You get after the quarterback, you get after Sam. These guys are top in the country at sacking the quarterback. They just do it differently. So it's going to be very intriguing to see.
All right, we know about the quarterbacks, we know about the offenses, we know the defenses have their hands full. Give me one player each side not named Kenny Pickett for Sam Hartman that you go, guess what, difference maker Saturday night.
Yeah, A.T. Perry for Wake Forest. And I think when you look at Pitt, they go man-to-man a ton. They trust those guys. They say, hey, our DB is better than your wide receiver. Well, Saturday night, that might be a question mark. And you've got a great quarterback that's going to throw him the ball. The one thing that is susceptible about Pitt's defense is if you miss – they're hitting big plays. They're hitting shots. And so how do you recover from that? How do you guard one-on-one a guy that's 6'5", 220 that can go over your head and get it at any given time? So for Wake Forest, that's my guy. And then for Pittsburgh, I think, is he a Abanikanda? Is he going to be able to go? That's... is he going to be full speed? Because he has been an unbelievable piece of this offense, keeping it as balanced as can. Clearly, they want to throw the football. But when you have that balance, when you have that running threat, everything else opens.
Yeah, because Kenny Pickett threw for three Bills at Tennessee, but what got lost in Kenny Pickett's 300-yard game at Tennessee was the short yardage stuff Abanikanda gave them to keep it honest.
And it wasn't like they were running at will, but when they needed it,
they
could do it.
And later in the game, he closed.
Exactly, exactly. And you even look at Clemson. I mean, they went on a 8-minute drive to finish the 7-minute drive to finish the game. That was running power football. That wasn't throwing the ball all over the yard. So if they can do that, I mean, look out.
Well, here's the other thing. I remember when Pitt beat Clemson. Remember how they closed the game out? They didn't throw it all over the yard. They lined up. So guess what? We've worn y'all out.
Right.
We're just going to run, first down, eat up clock, game, set, match. I think it's a fascinating matchup. I really do.
Yeah.
I mean, you got 15 and 16 from a national perspective. You got two great offenses and defenses coming probably off their best performances over the weekend, where you saw Pittsburgh shut down Sean Tucker. Nobody's done that all year.
Fascinating.
And Wake Forest, hey, talk about the offense all you want. Guess what they did? 10 points to BC. Right. Nine first downs, less than 200 yards of total offense. They got the job done on that
stuff. And I will just throw out a little warning here.
Uh-oh.
I think that was a little bit more of bad BC offense. I think that was play calling into the wind. We're trying to throw 50-yard bombs. The ball goes 20 yards.
Djurkovic was never comfortable
throwing
the ball.
He was sick. You know, he was sick. He was hurt coming off that FSU game. So I don't want to take too much credit away from Wake's defense and what they're able to do, but I don't want to sit here and say that defense is world beaters at all. I think this is going to have to be a track meet if Wake wants to win. If Pitt wants to win, play a little bit of keep away.
Hold on. Really?
We are now begging.
Begging for the jingle jangles and all this?
No, jingle jangles are over here.
What's been destroyed since the commissioner?
The ball. I already had to throw a tennis ball. Did you see that?
Yeah.
I mean, it was already totally punctured and bald.
I put the blanket out there and he started chewing that in half. That's why I got these out, to keep him away from that.
Okay. Right. How's it going?
It's one big happy family.
Is that what it is?
That's how we roll. That's how we roll.
People think, oh, isn't it a great show with the
– Hey, Coach Rick's calling me.
Hey, Coach Rick. Yeah, why not? Go ahead. Let's talk to Coach
Rick. Hey, Coach Rick, I'm on TV right now. I'll call you in a second.
totally loose here.
He probably needs to go. Some, he wants some breakfast or...
You think? I'm probably. Sure that's what it is.
He's like, hey, big man, what, go pick me up some good breakfast.
You know what? Take him to, what is it, Snooze?
Snooze.
Yeah, Snooze. Right back.
Good. Little Spoon's good.
Little Spoon's good. Oh, that's close by, too.
You go Eddie's place up
oh,
here.
Eddie's even know who you are. Oh, Eddie's is...
I got Eddie's, let me know.
All right. Yeah, Bojangles, too. You know why?
Bojangles.
Because on the other side, Mac's going to talk about... we got a little coaching situation.
A little.
You and I sat there yesterday and went, what?
That was weird.
It was. So we're going to talk about the Virginia situation with Eric. Maybe a thought or two on Duke. By the way, Marcus Freeman being named the Notre Dame coach officially awesome. Today at 2 o'clock. Nicely done by Notre Dame.
Very. I appreciate them doing that. It'll be a perfect leadway to a 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock off-campus show.
This has been a wonderful week in terms of coaching.
You've had to work real hard.
Oh, it's real been a layup machine. A layup
Says
machine.
Says the guys that aren't doing it.
Yeah, well.
I love how that works.
That's exactly right.
Not it's a, been real easy,
oh,
right?
Y'all doing the Birmingham Bowl? Oh, man, a monkey can do that.
Stinking Jeff from Tech.
Just show up.
Oh, that's right.
All right, on the other side, coaching changes, Bojangles weekend, and more. Max in the basement to help us close a great week of preparation for the Subway ACC Football Championship. Yeah, triple header of hoops tomorrow. We'll cover that. And the 10:05 is approaching fast for Chester and Fuller on what's been a big week for them when we continue next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
How do you go from where you are to where you want to be? And I think you have to have an enthusiasm for life. You have to have a dream, a goal, and you have to be willing to work for it.
/donate, all donations benefit the V Foundation for Cancer Research. And the inspiring words of Jim Valvano resonate this week with us on ACC Network and across the ESPN platforms. If you can contribute, we hope you will, to their continuing research for cancer. All right, Bojangles weekend menu. Let's get that done first before we clear out the coaching carousel. 10:05, two biscuits, no butter pack?
That's right.
Is that what we're going
no
with?
Butter. No I'm butter, please.
I'm going to go double chicken today.
Double Easy. Chicken hey. For the back, man. Okay.
A little cheese in the middle?
Yeah. I'm starving sitting here looking at all these dog treats.
All right, so here we go. Tonight, double dip on the men's card. Notre Dame at BC, 6 o'clock. Pitt at Virginia at 8. And then three of them tomorrow. Noon, you get Clemson, Miami. Wake on the road at Virginia Tech. Syracuse at Florida State. Then the huddle live. It says 6. 6:20. I'm thinking you guys might hit the air. Sunday, women's card. Double dip. Noon, Louisville hosts Belmont. 2 o'clock, Tennessee at Virginia Tech. All of it right here on ACC Network. Thanks to John Curry, Heather Like, David Teal, Brent Pry, Jim Phillips, and Old 78.
Come on.
There we go.
What do you think about Coach Pry? I haven't spoken to him, seen him, anything.
Fired up. They hit all the marks. That's what we came away with yesterday. Yeah, they got a guy who knows and loves the program, who's got great football experience. Mm-hmm. For a first-time head coach, I think he comes with a little more than your typical first-time head coach.
Well, you know, I'll say this again. Whether he won the press conference or lost the press conference, whether he's got a Southern accent like Brian Kelly or he doesn't, it really doesn't matter. You've got to win.
That's right.
Right? And
that's
if right. You're at Virginia Tech, if you're at LSU, you're at Notre Dame, you're at USC, Oklahoma, you pick Virginia, Duke, you have to win.
Right.
So as far as the original Q&A, I thought he did a great job. I think Virginia Tech fans will be able to connect with him because he understands what Virginia Tech's all about, which was very important to Whit Babcock. But at the end of the day, when we get to the fall of 22, guess what? Hokie Nation, when they show up at Lane Stadium, they want to win.
Right.
Yep. Right. Good guy, bad guy, whatever. Go win some games.
Right.
Staff composition, I think, will be interesting.
It will be.
All right. Virginia. We sat there yesterday. David Teal told us he thought it would be sooner than later.
Wow.
Thinks that Bronco and Holly's faith has a lot to do with it at this particular juncture. Sure. Certainly respect and honor that. He mentioned Marcus Hagans, who coaches wide receivers, a Virginia player from the Tidewater area. Anthony Poindexter.
Yeah.
John Beck.
How about that? How about a couple of Penn State coordinators down in the Commonwealth.
I said to Teal.
Can you imagine?
It'd be fantastic. We're talking about great storylines. Right. I mean, listen, those two are going to battle each other now like nobody's business, right?
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that Coach Price said yesterday was, hey, we're going to recruit Virginia.
Have to.
And we've talked about how, you know, Mac Brown's done a great job coming in there still. And everybody's come into Virginia and poached big-time talent.
Right.
And the new man at Virginia, the new man at Virginia Tech, guess what? That's got to be priority one. Has to be.
Richmond, Virginia Beach, everywhere in between, you've got to lock it down. I mean, Virginia Tech, you've got to put up a fence around that state and say, these are our guys.
We've all seen guys from Richmond leave to go out of state.
Anywhere. And Virginia Beach. I mean, you can just rattle off the names. But when I look at Virginia, man, it was shocking to me. I mean, no question. I don't know Bronco as a friend. Certainly have spoken to him many a times. But it was shocking. And a guy that has done so much for that program and gotten them to a really good place, he's leaving it better than we found it, which is fantastic.
Just like David Cutcliffe
at
Duke.
Exactly. But who the heck are we going to get? It's going to be fascinating to see. And how much time does it take? Because I'm sure this was a shock, a surprise. I don't think there was any type of plan right now in place of what's next.
Beyond the Virginia walls, David Teal mentioned Tony Elliott.
I think that'd be a great hire.
Okay.
That'd be a great hire. You have a guy in Tony who understands education. Education is very important. A place like Virginia, it's a little different, kind of like Duke. I mean, that is a high value. Mm-hmm. You can't just go get any random person to go to Virginia. So I think that would be great if that's what Coach Elliott wants to do, if he's interested in, you know, pursuing head coaching. So, Pack, it's going to be very interesting to see.
I think Carla Williams needs to determine real quick. I mean, because you got National Signing Day coming up here in 12 days. Mm-hmm. And that you can't just ignore that.
Right.
I mean, because that has really put pressure on every athletic department in the country when you start thinking about, hey, we need to make a change. That time frame gets squeezed, man. You can't afford to just say, man, we're going to blow off this class.
Right.
You fall behind another 2 years. But you also can't be to the point where, hey, we got to go hire somebody tomorrow. It's got to be right. So that's a delicate balance. That's why ADs are making a lot of cash.
Yeah,
that's true. You know, Carla's in a tough spot there. But if you feel comfortable with somebody on your staff, hey, you may have the answer, much like Notre Dame with Marcus Freeman. It's everybody's different. So it'll be intriguing to see, again, how Duke's going to handle their business, how Virginia now has to handle their business.
Right. I think that signing day thing's a big piece. Really interesting because there's one coming up here in a couple days in December. And then, of course, the other in February that, man, you just think that, okay, the staff, if we can keep them to February, we've got some time. But, man, you got to
December 15th. It's 12 days away.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's the part. And, again, we talked with John Curry about it when he was first here. That signing day, the movement of football here, and Jim Phillips mentioned it in talking about the expansion of the playoffs. The 24/7, 365 nature of the thing at the collegiate level has really started to ramp up. I mean, you could make the case. Virginia Tech talked about it in terms of the dismissal of Justin Fuente. They got Brent Pry inside 2 weeks. David Teal says he's not coming to Charlotte because he thinks that Virginia might be on that fast a track. Wow. 72 hours?
Wow. I mean, that's almost what you have to do. It's almost what you have to do. But it has to be right. I mean, you can't just scream into a situation. Then you put yourself 2-3 years backwards again when you're going through the same exact process down the road. So it's a tough spot. But you're right. They get paid a lot of money to do that job.
But I do think Virginia's got options. You know, I think what David Teal laid out in terms of who's on your current staff that would be a good fit, I do think that becomes an option for Carla Williams and the group that's going to make this decision. And I think there's a lot of folks that look at the Virginia opportunity and go, hey, you know what? That's a sleeping giant. You're in a state that produces great talent.
Yeah.
If you can control it and own it, and they have Virginia Tech's really good, then you're going to have that battle.
Right.
But I think there'll be a lot of folks on the outside currently of the Virginia gig that go, guess what? If I got a chance to get that job, I'm taking it.
Right. Yeah. And it's not the Atlantic. It's not
the
SEC West. There isn't this dominant dog that has been there, you know, each and every year. So that has to make it more attractive as well.
All right. Give us your lean. We got a couple minutes left. Give us your lean. I'm not going to ask you to make the pick because I know y'all got boards and all sorts of things at stake.
Right.
So what are you thinking?
I'm leaning Pitt. I'm leaning Pitt because of defense. I'm leaning Pitt because Kenny Pickett's the best quarterback in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at the end of the day, that gets it done. Now, I do think if Wake can turn this into a track meet, they've got a shot, and it's going to be really fun. But I don't know if they're going to be able to because of the lack of balance. I assume Pitt's going to really take away that run. And if they can get after Sam – could get dangerous quickly.
I will say close game favors the Deeks because of Skiba.
Okay. I like that. I definitely
close
go them special teams.
Favors the game because of Skiba.
Sure.
But I think Pickett and Addison finish the script. Yeah. I think they win.
I do too.
When in doubt, you go with the team that's got better defense.
Yeah.
Pitt, close. Yeah.
Have you always, by the way, had this lined up like that? I mean, the ACC championship, you've had Pitt and Wake right next to each other.
All year.
Wow,
all year.
Look at that, huh? Wow. That's
you guys
who,
knew.
That's who
you guys
he
knew
is.
First. You
that's
knew
who
first.
He is.
That's pretty incredible.
All right, kids. Here's the way this works. Triple header of basketball tomorrow starts our coverage at noon. 6 o'clock, Mac, Jordan, EJ, Coach Rick.
Keep going.
They'll be
Roddy.
There. Roddy,
who else?
Roddy Jones coming in.
Hers
coming
Cotter.
In. Cotter. Wow. Eddie Royal.
Eddie Royal. Wow. Man, we've got a Super Bowl.
Okay, so you want to see Packer. You're going to have to check him out on the concourse on
FaceTime
the way
him.
Onto a suite.
Yeah.
If you want to see Mac, though, a special treat for some of you in the Charlotte area. Emac and Coach Rick will be someplace in the Midwood area eating breakfast here in about 30 minutes, so you can join them.
We'll see you all fine people soon.
Thanks to Drew,
if you
Josh.
If see Durham, he'll be in Cartersville.
That's it. Back deck, back Cartersville,
course,
Georgia.
Back
yes, sir. Most important person on this crew this entire week has been the Megatron. Directing this show
that's
today.
That's right.
Drew, Josh, everybody have a safe weekend. We'll see you Monday with a full recap of football and get you set for the front weekend of hoops.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.